Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, February 5th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in the chapter Into Action, page 87, paragraph 3. And it begins with, as we go through the day. Today's readers are Tamara C. for the 12 Steps, Miriam Rivka H. for the 12 Traditions, Abby S., Kathy Jo P., and Dawn B. Please stand by after the recording ends in about 50 minutes to hear Janice PM. She'll be welcoming newcomers and giving numbers for available sponsors. And then Leslie W. has some important announcements for you. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Tuesday, February 4th is 14070. That's 14070. And the reference number for this morning's meeting, Wednesday, February 5th at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 14076. That's 14076. VOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Tamara C. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Central California. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to give service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Tamara C. And I'll now ask Miriam Rivka H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, good morning. It's Miriam Rivka H., recovered compulsive eater in New Jersey. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service.
Thank you so much, Mary and Rivka. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action, finishing it up pretty close. We're on page 87 and the third paragraph, and I'm going to ask Abby S. to please begin reading.
Hello, this is Abby S., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you, Abby. Please go ahead.
Oh, okay. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. All right. That is one of the greatest paragraphs in the book, I feel like. There's so many opportunities for me just to stop in the middle of my day and ask God to come in and remind me what he'd have me be. And I did a meditation this morning, and it talked about the way that we can ask God to guide our minds. And you know, when I think about if I'm anxious or worried or, you know, just really upset about something, I have to remember that it's because something isn't going the way that I want it to. And, you know, understanding the word selfishness has really, really, like, saved my life because, you know, as an addict, I want things to be a certain way at all times. And someone explained to me that, like, the selfishness isn't the same thing as like the dictionary selfishness. Like in the big book, it's like, I'm just expecting to have things go my way. I just can't accept the way that things are in the world. I need them to go my way. And so I have to constantly remind myself that as an addict, that that's very fatal for me. And so I am constantly reminding myself throughout the day. And to just pause when agitated or doubtful. Someone told me that feelings last for 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. So if I could just remember to pause before I react to someone or just take a deep breath, ask for the right thought or action. Like, are these thoughts that I'm having, are these like self, like the selfish, like, not that I'm a bad person, but are these thoughts what I want to happen that I'm arranging in my mind? Or is it God? And if I'm anxious, worried, afraid, any of that, it's not God. So if I'm at peace and ease, that's God. So pretty much anytime I'm out of peace and ease, then I'm trying to run the show in some way. And so to constantly be reminded that I'm not running the show has really saved my life, because it is exhausting to try to go around and just arrange everything my way. Like, I'm trying and trying and pushing and pushing and pushing, and it's never going to be that way. And I love what they say, you know, self-pity. I've been in self-pity, like, that is very dangerous for me. But also excitement, you know, like when I'm like really excited about something, I could be almost like manic, like, you know, good things are happening, but like I'm freaking out because I'm manic. Like I'm just like, you know, so excited, and I just need to like, you know, come back down from that too. So just, I'm really grateful for this program. Thanks for letting me be of service. I feel a part of when I'm of service on this meeting, and I just hope everyone has a great day. Thanks for letting me read, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Abby S. Thanks for getting us started. Okay, who'd like to comment on the third paragraph on page 87?
Penny M.
Ooh, my. Lots of people all at once. Let's try that again.
Freya H.
Freya H.
Barbara H.
Did I hear Barbara H?
Yes, thank you.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C.
Sherry K. B.
Sherry K. B.
Leslie W.
Courtney M.
Leslie W. and Courtney M. That's our lineup. Hang on just a second. I'm going to write that down. All righty. Here's what we've got. Freya H., Barbara H., Penny L.C., Sherry K.B., Leslie W., and Courtney M. Okay, Freya, please go ahead. You'll be followed by Barbara H.
Okay, I'm now unmuted.
Yeah.
It's Freya.
Excellent. Thank you.
Freya
Thank
H.
you.
Compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado. Thank you so much. Thank you to the reader. I love this paragraph, and this has appealed to me long before many other sections in the big book came to appeal to me, and that's because it's so incredibly practical. There's a set of directions, really, really simple directions. As we go through the day, we pause, ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we're no longer running the show, and then it has some promises, which really appealed to me as a compulsive person, especially when it says we became much more efficient. We don't tire so easily. We are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. And as a compulsive person who wants to maximize my productivity in my day, this really gave me pause. I realized if I actually do this, then I get to be more efficient. When I am God-powered and God-centered, I actually get more done, and I don't burn up my energy foolishly. So that was a motivation for me, you know, early on. And there is so much to say about this, but for me, it's I think one of the hardest parts is remembering to pause. It's like, okay, you know, like people share that, you know, I do my morning meditation and then I put my books away and then I just kind of forget until my evening review. And I find that when I'm consistently doing my morning meditation and my evening review and really asking God's forgiveness, I have more awareness of the need to pause. So it's like a reinforcing
a cycle. So like the more I do it, the easier it gets. And the less I do it, the more I forget. And it gets, you know, more difficult to remember that, oh yeah, in those moments of agitation, I need to pause. And the other thing that really helps me is when I'm aware of how fatal and futile and harmful my defects are, that really motivates me to pause, because I realize I need to do this because I don't want to harm people. I don't want to yell at my children. I don't want to make snippy comments at my husband. And I don't want to sit in, you know, self-justification that, you know, that I needed to for some reason. So when I'm really aware that when I don't pause, it does harm, that helps me remember to pause. So thank you for the opportunity to share. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Barbara H.
Good morning, everybody. Oops, did I interrupt something?
Well, we have, Barbara H., please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's so different on the phone than a face-to-face, because you don't know what's going on sometimes, but on the telephone. Anyway, it's good. The phone is perfect. The vision is beautiful. I've been listening, and I love it. It's changing each day a little bit of something in me. And what I wanted to share with that, I didn't hear the reading. I apologize. I just got on the phone. I just woke up. I couldn't wait because somebody told me there's a 10 o'clock meeting too, and I didn't know. But anyway, I got a little feel of what it's about. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm an alcoholic, but the two, it doesn't matter, because it was some excuse to pick up something to hurt me. I was only hurting myself with all the addictions in my body and soul. There are other things too, there's little things. The vision has been changing so much stuff on me. I'm sober 40 years, but the food became such a big problem for me after I got sober. Anyway, here's what I wanted to share. When I am in a situation, and I want to, I can't do anything for anybody but myself. I want to. I want to people please. I want to make everybody love me. My sponsor once told me, if everybody loves you, you're doing something wrong. And if everybody doesn't like you, then you're doing something right. And that's deep. That's if you think about it. Anyway, when I speak now in a situation with my daughter, with my son-in-law, with a friend, with family, anybody, I learned one thing when I was listening with visions. The first thing you're going to say to somebody is usually the disease in the brain. So I pause and I think now. Sometimes I don't do it all the time. It just jumps out there, you know. I'm compulsive in every area. But when I don't say the first thing and I just pause a little bit and say the second thing that I'm saying is my recovery. So it feels so good. I'm in control of that little drop of speaking. It's very hard. This mouth is one of my diseases that it doesn't shut up. And you know what else I learned? Being kind, you can still say no. I thought you had to say, yes, I'll do this, yes, I'll do that. Being kind is okay when you say no. You're allowed. And I was brought up to people please. My mom was like that. Everything, yes, for neighbors and babysitting. It was a horror, and I picked it up. I wanted to start a meeting. Anyway, my daughter's calling me. Okay, anyway, I'm going to let her ring. I'm going to still listen. Have a good day, and thank you so much. All of you, before you speak, I feel like it's me. God bless, and I hope my friend's on the phone today. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara H. Welcome to the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. And we are reading and commenting on the third paragraph on page 87 today. And Penny L.C., you're up next, followed by Sherry K.B. Star one to unmute, Penny L.C.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service and for everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I so appreciate the pause. It's one of the most useful tools that I have gained in this recovery process. I appreciate that. I just have to share the acronyms that people have shared with me. To pause is to pray and use spiritual energy, you know, to be able to stop and bring my higher power into it. To pause is also, can be its own prayer of please assist until serenity enters. You know, being able to just allow myself that moment instead of that impulsive, reactionary thought that's going to pop out of my mouth, and instead allow God, the God of my understanding, to come in and give me the thought, the inspiration, the insight that I need in that moment. It's being able to tap into my intuition. As we read earlier on this page, that one of the promises is that what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. But I believe that happens when I pause, when I take the time to just momentarily realize it's not about me and what I think ought to happen. It's about what Spirit wants to happen. And when I focus on Spirit's will, then things are going in the right direction. And one of my first sponsors years ago told me a story about a tribe of people who had miles and miles to travel. And they didn't stop to eat or go to the bathroom, but they would stop to let Spirit catch up. And I thought, what an interesting concept, you know, just to remember, I need to make sure that Spirit is with me. And when I'm focusing in on God's will, it will be the right focus. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. Sherry K.V., you're up next, followed by Leslie W.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry K.B. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. And thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line and Team Wednesday, and welcome newcomers. And I love, love, love this paragraph. It's one of my favorites because it gives such great instruction. And it's just reminding me that, you know, all throughout the book it's talked about that I have to have a new attitude. I have to set aside my old prejudice, my old ideas. I have to have a spiritual awakening. I have to have a psychic change. And so for me, that psychic change is I'm no longer running the show. That God's running my life now, not me. And it goes so much better when I do. I can always tell when I'm in my day and things aren't going well. It's because I haven't relied on my higher power. I haven't turned things over to my higher power. And I used to think I had to control everything, and how my day went was completely up to me. And you know what? For a compulsive overeater, that is such a dangerous place to be in. I really get, and I'm living in that now, where I, when my day's not going well, I'm like, wow, did I stop? Did I do a step? You know, did I do a step 10? Have I done a step 11? Pause throughout the day. When agitated and doubtful. And what's really been coming up for me lately is I knew about pausing when agitated, but I forgot about the doubtful piece. When I start getting doubtful about something in my life, that's part of it too, because I'm turning everything over to the Father of Light, the Mother and Father of Light. And so that's what's so important, and that I don't tire so easily, because I'm not in selfish, you know, and selfishness and dishonesty and self-seeking and fear, because I know what to do with that to clean it up and then turn my will and life over to God. Because when I do that and I'm useful, God takes all that yuck out of me like a spiritual vacuum cleaner and sucks it all out of me. And I just, you know, this is such incredible directions, and it works. This stuff really works. And I love this. I think about what it says on page 60, where it says, let me get there, where it talks about that being convinced that my life, that, you know, the first requirement is that I be convinced that my life run on self-will can hardly be a success, and that, you know, I'm always in collision with something or somebody, and that I can't live life on self-propulsion anymore, especially being a compulsive overeater, because that's what my disease wants. Because then I'll be face down in the food. I have been face down in the food in the past. I have been face down my emotions, and that is just as dangerous because that will cause me to get face down in the food. So now I have to be very careful about not being face down the emotions with God's help, and I pass. Thanks so much.
Good insights throughout this meeting. Just such amazing insights. Thank you, everybody. Leslie W., you're up next, and then you'll be followed by Courtney M., and after Courtney, we'll take a lineup on people who would like to comment on page 87, the third paragraph. Please go ahead, Leslie. Leslie W.? Star 1 to unmute. We're not hearing you, Leslie.
Can you hear me, Elaine?
Yes, yes, here she is. Awesome, thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks so much for your service. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. And, this paragraph is true for me. This is definitely an art. This is not something that you can just read one time and know how to do. Or at least I certainly can't. It takes years of practice. It is a discipline. Pausing throughout the day is a discipline, and one that I must admit I am really still very much a baby in this phase, because old habits die hard. You know, running the show, being in that mindset of I'm in charge running the show is how I've lived most of my life. So doing things differently just takes a lot of patience. You know, this paragraph, what there's the execution of this paragraph requires a lot of patience for me. And knowing that I'm going to mess up, knowing that when I do mess up and when I do see and do have that awareness of, hey, you know, I'm getting some anxiety in my chest, and I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and everybody's looking at me like, what's going to happen next? Is my kids are looking at me like, is mom just going to spin out of control right now? You know, those are the things that I can recognize today and see. And you know, thank you, God, can take a step back and just ask for help. For me, it's admitting that I need help, and maybe also admitting it to God and to another person for that accountability. And also, this has direct correlation for me with an old mentality of I must perform in order to be worthy. I must gain your approval and my approval, live up to your expectations and my expectations in order to be a worthy human being, in order to matter. And when my connection with God is strong and I know that I matter because he says I matter, then I don't have to live that way. So thanks. I pass.
Thank you very much, Leslie W. Okay, Courtney M's up next, and we will have a new lineup right after you.
Hello, this is Courtney M, recovering in Southwest Florida. Yeah, I just need to say ditto to the last person who shared, first of all. But what really jumped out at me this morning when I read this paragraph was danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. That specific part, that we're in danger of excitement.
I knew fear could be dangerous and anger. I didn't think about excitement being dangerous. So that I thought was really interesting, because I never really thought about it that way. And somebody else shared earlier about being manic in excitement, and yeah, guilty as charged for me in the past, for sure. And I'm definitely not over it. I'm working on it. The pause helps me. I had a situation come up yesterday with my daughter that really, really tested this for me. And I have to do, you know, a 10th step on what happened. But I, at least in practicing this and in studying the directions here, I was at least present enough to pause and not absolutely turn into that raging, screaming, completely harmful mother that I could have been yesterday in that situation. I absolutely could have deteriorated to that very, very quickly. It really is, again, that whole idea of me running the show. That's when I'm running the show, that's where I am in that danger zone. Because I forget sometimes that I am not the center of the universe and I do not control everything. In fact, I control very little. So this to me is that great way of reminding myself that I need to stay humble, or I might really do some serious damage to the people around me and to myself too. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Courtney. All right, we're ready for another lineup of people who want to share on page 87, paragraph 3.
Natalie W.
8.
Eileen L.
Natalie.
Wow.
Nadia B.
Mo.
Irene.
Carrie F.
Irene. Okay. Reggie. Wow. Lots of great names, and I'm not getting them all. Let me see. I just got first names here. I heard Natalie. Was there a Natalie?
Yeah, Natalie.
Natalie.
G.
Okay, you're up first. Then Santa H. And then did I hear Nadia? Or was that just Natalie? Okay, I think that was Natalie. Okay, and then Mo H.
You did hear Nadia, Elaine.
I thought I recognized that accent. Thank you, Nadia. All right, Nadia B. And then Mo H. And Irene. Did I hear Irene?
Yes, Eileen.
Eileen, thank you. And Wendy? Was it Sandy?
Sandy K.
Oh, Sandy K. All right. That's our lineup. Natalie G, Santa H, Nadia B, Mo H, Eileen. I need your initial of your last name, and Sandy K. And thank you, everybody, for your patience with me. Natalie G, you're up next, followed by Santa H. And if you're not Natalie, please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Elaine, and everyone who does service on this morning and all of the vision for you. This is Natalie G., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And this morning I'm thinking about this paragraph in relation to this weekend with my sister. We got into a political discussion, and I can't handle the way she believes. And I'm trying to force myself to be calm and discuss things rationally. And hear her and listen to what she has to say, and I can't. Every time I open my mouth, boom, and you know, I'm yelling at her, I'm belittling her, I'm acting all superior. I got a lot of amends to make to her today. Anyway, and I'm reading this paragraph this morning and listening to the shares, and it hits me. It's not only that I'm feeling these emotions. I'm feeling resentful. I'm feeling afraid. Fear is what runs a lot of what I do. And I've been really working this 10, 11, and 12 lately. And I see fear is everywhere. It's not only that that's what's happening, but it's also that I'm resisting my own emotional response to what's happening. I am denying that I'm feeling this way. And so I cannot, because I'm denying that this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling afraid. I'm feeling, you know, my mind has gone off into these fantasies of what's going to happen if the election turns out this way and blah, blah, blah. But I'm denying that's what's happening. I'm not even aware of it in a lot of ways. And so there's nothing I can do about it. Even if I ask God for help, which I did, please, God, help me. Please help me not to be so reactive. But I haven't done my work. And my work is to recognize that I'm feeling this way, first of all. And then do a 10 step so I can clear my own emotional response and then hear what God is saying to me. That is a huge revelation for me. And the pause could be where I do that 10 step because I couldn't get out of it. And finally, the only thing I was able to say to my sister was, I'm sorry, I cannot discuss this thing rationally. I don't have any power to right now. I can't be rational, so let's not talk about it. And that was like the best I could do. But wow, what an insight for me. I'm excited to put this into practice and see what happens with it. Thank you so much for letting me share, you guys. Have a good day. I pass.
Thank you, too, very much, Natalie G. And Santa H, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Nadia B.
Good morning, my fellows, and thank you, Elaine, for hearing me, and thank you for the services from Team Wednesday. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And what struck me in this paragraph was a few things is that, you know, when agitated or doubtful, I ask for the right thought or action. And sometimes for me, it's just doing the next right thing. Not knowing what my higher power outcome is going to be, and it doesn't matter to me today. I'm just so grateful that, you know, these several moments, several weeks, I have been having serene, abstinent, peaceful, calm days, and just living in 10, 11, 12, I really believe that that's what's helping me to really experience these promises like I have been experiencing them, and I'm just so grateful for it. And just to think that these four words make such a huge, just a difference. I don't have to say much. Just thy will be done. And I find myself saying that in situations. And what that means for me is that I'm just turning it over. I'm turning it over to a power that's greater than me. And it's basically saying, you handle it. I'm gonna just step back away from this. And I also find what's helpful for me as well to keep me less danger of excitement, fear, anger, and worry, and self-pity and foolish decisions. I often say to myself, acceptance is the key. So all I have to do is accept what is going on right now at this moment, because this is what's supposed to be going on right now, and just accepting that. And then when I do experience situations where it's beyond these character defects that are stronger than these character defects, rather, I just can make a gratitude list. Because in every situation, doesn't matter how tragic it is, there is something in there to be grateful for. And I focus on the gratitude because then I'm much less danger of wanting to have full thoughts, which would next lead into taking that compulsive bite. And knowing that my one problem is that I have no defense against that first bite. So living in 10, 11, and 12 is what keeps me sane and happy, joyous, and free. And I am grateful one day at a time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Santa H. Nadia B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Mo H.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Nadia B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And I just, you know, just looking at that prayer, thy will be done. And I was thinking, you know, what's God's will? What's God's will here? And it, you know what, that word will really strike me today. I was thinking about in we agnostic Bill calls God, great reality. And he said that, you know, in order to join God on this broad highway with everybody else, you know, I have to be aligned with this power. And, you know, for me, being food sober, or as we call it, entirely abstinent, helped me to just be aware of unmanageability and discomfort, because I was blind for so many years. As my friend, a good friend in recovery, says, my life had become unmanageable by me and had nothing to do with food. So it took 12 steps of the program for me to awake enough to see it. And, you know, this is where the progress comes for me. And we were, you know, someone mentioned being a baby, you know, like a baby, and I'm learning and I'm progressing. And, you know, I see my progress. And many times each day, I have to think about it. This is not anything that comes naturally to me, you know, and I am, you know, blessed with seeing in people who've been doing it, you know, a few more days than I have, how natural it comes to them. And, you know, practicing today, because, you know, I can easily slip back into this unmanageability when I'm not vigilant, when I am, you know, when I am defying that will, when I'm going against that, you know, highway goes two ways. And when I, you know, when I turn around on the wrong way, right, I'm going to get smooshed, smashed and destroyed. And that was my experience for many years. And, you know, I have to, if I am to survive, if I am to live, I have to change, you know, and see the reality that, you know, there is another way to do this. And we are, you know, there on this broad highway, people go both ways. And I'm learning how to, you know, how to realign and change. And thank you. With you, one day at a time on this broad highway. Thank you for hearing my share.
Thank you so much, Nadia B. Mo H, you're up next, and you're followed by Eileen. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Elaine, for your service and all those on the line. And good morning, my fellows and newcomers. Welcome to this meeting. Wow. So what I was thinking about in this paragraph was the pause. You know, when I was in the food, there was no way I could recognize the pause. I just forged ahead, full steam ahead, and it was my way or the highway. So first I have to get abstinent. And once I'm abstinent and cleanly abstinent, I can feel what is going on in my body that is uncomfortable. And that's my three words that I share: notice, name, and become conscious. So once I notice that I am feeling some of these, you know, excitement, fear, anger, worry, all of that, and I notice that, and then I name it, and becoming conscious is making that pause. And pause, God is in the pause. And then it says, we do not tire so easily, burning up energy foolishly. Oh my God, I didn't know. I was just like a roaring tiger running through everything and just exhausted all the time. But of course I was eating too, so that made me tired. This morning in one of my meditation books that I read, it said, ask God to order your day and control your thinking. And I thought, wow, I'm going to do that. Order my day. So I'm letting God order my day as to, you know, what should I wear? I usually know what I'm going to eat. You know, what time is lunch? What time is dinner? But to control my thinking, oh, yes, let God control these thoughts that go on and on and on. I have been really trying hard in the last few weeks to give all my stinking thinking to God. And when it starts, I just say, please, God, take this. And then I go, as I heard already on the line, go to a gratitude. You know, if I start thinking negatively about my husband in the house, I'll be grateful that he worked hard for many years and we have a nice place to live and we have heat and we have clothing and this and that. So when I switch to gratitudes, and of course, again, I have to be abstinent to do that because I can't just do this on my own, that really helps. So this just really is a powerful paragraph, and I really appreciate everybody's shares this morning. And thank you, Elaine, once again, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mo H. I certainly appreciate everybody's shares as well. Eileen, you're up next, and our last share will be after you with Sandy K. Eileen, may we have the first initial of your last name?
Good morning, Elaine. This is Eileen M. M as in Mary. I'm gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And this has been such a powerful meeting for me. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. When I think about the word agitated, I had to look that up in the dictionary to make sure, it would include all of the, I could define all the feelings that come under agitated. And one of them was frustrated. And I like how someone was saying about the previous share said about, when you're entirely abstinent, you begin to be mindful of how you feel in your body, because that's how, I can feel myself getting agitated and getting fearful. And, I just love all the shares because, when I'm agitated, when I'm in a situation where it appears that I'm not going to get what I want, I immediately get fearful. And the fear is all about, I have found this through my 10 steps, is the fear has been about, not getting what I need. Like, somehow I'm not going to get what I need. I'm going to get left out. And, at that point, I'm powerless. That's when I'm really powerless and really need help. And I've been asking God in my morning meditation to be in my thoughts and to help me be positive about things. And I love what was shared about gratitude. One of my go-to responses when I'm agitated has been to start calling fellows in the program. And I've noticed that, sometimes like I get on the phone and I'm calling, five or six people and no one is answering. And that gets me even more frustrated and agitated because I'm like, well, nobody's answering and I can't get a hold of anybody. And I kind of get more excited. There's more excitement in a not a good way, I was just thinking about this reaction that I do is calling these people. I keep calling more people and I keep getting more and more frustrated. And what happens is that's human aid. That's going to human aid first and like making those people like not answering, like that's my higher power. And so I love this, what this says, is it's this reminder, and, I get to read this every morning, that it's like we do this after we conclude the period of meditation with this. We're going to go through our day, and it's just like setting that intention in the morning, like, God, please help me as I go through my day when I get into these situations, please help me to go to you first. I love what was said about something, it was an acronym shared about, waiting till serenity comes in, because really when I'm agitated, I'm in that insane place and that's where I need help, step two. So thanks so much, everybody. Really appreciate this meeting.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Last share today, Sandy K. And I'm afraid it needs to be just a little bit short, Sandy. If you could keep it at 2 minutes, that would really help a lot. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. This is Sandy Kay from Florida. There was another Sandy who gave their name before mine. So whoever that is, if they want to speak, I can defer to them.
Oh, why don't you please go ahead at this point, Sandy?
Okay.
But thanks for that generous offer.
Okay. So if I want to find peace and harmony, then I have to be acting in my higher power's will. And if so, that what that means is if I get rid of, you know, the over-the-top excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions, I can find peace. And regarding the pause, it's really important. I'm going to be at World Service later this year in a few months. And one of the proposals they have is to vote on whether we want to have pause as a tool. So that's how important the word pause is. I'm very happy we're reading this paragraph. When I can respond, I'm really fine. But sometimes my mouth is ahead of my feet. And when that happens and I react, a lot of times I'm not. So I had a long-term relationship, and I knew it was a sensitive situation. So every time I would see him, I would think, okay, I want you to be nice. I want you to be kind. I want you to do God's will. But every once in a while when I'm not thinking ahead, I instead of pause, I plow. And it's practice. It's just practice for me, like somebody else said. I'm going to end with that, except the person who did the acronym about pause, I don't know how we can get that back, but I missed some of those words. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandy Kay, and everybody who came, listened, shared, part of the team. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kathy Jo P. please read page 164, A Vision for You.
Kathy Jo P., recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.